Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are we doing? Happy Tuesday.
Outstanding. Ian Safar is here. How are we doing today, Ian?
What up, what up?
Okay, so I want to start with this. Saw my old neighbors today. Great people. I mean, I absolutely love them. They kind of remind me a lot of my parents and Floyd and that, like, that kind of, you know, demographic. And I was over there talking with them. They asked me today, they said, Jared, are the Titans going to be okay? Are the Titans going to be okay? Please tell me the Titans are going to be okay. And so I was thinking about this today. And you look at the Titans right now. Their best player is hurt. Their biggest free agent signing, Bud Dupree, is hurt. We don't know when he's coming back. Their top trade acquisition, Julio Jones, is hurt. Their top draft pick is hurt. Their quarterback leads the NFL in interceptions, which is never something good to be discussing. And they just lost to the worst team in the league. Are the Titans going to be okay? Look at the injuries. By the way, they're playing the red-hot New England Patriots, probably the hottest team in the league. One of the hallmarks about Belichick is that when Belichick's got a good team, once they get into November, they don't look back. Belichick's got a good team. 2 years ago, in 2019, they were the defending Super Bowl champions. They started the year off as a house of fire, but they weren't very good down the stretch. That's when the Titans nipped them in the playoffs, Brady's last game. They're red-hot right now. You know who they actually look like? The Patriots right now? They look like the 2001 Patriots. You know, Matt Jones doesn't do a lot at quarterback for the Patriots. Neither did Tom Brady in 2001. Tom Brady threw one touchdown pass in the Super Bowl to David Patton the entire playoff run for the Patriots that year. One touchdown pass. He threw over 145 yards en route to being Super Bowl MVP. In Super Bowl 36. This is crazy, right? But that's what they are right now. Good defense, well coached, good special teams. So, everything you wanted to fix about your team right now from last year is hurt. Your star player, maybe the best player in the entire sport, who got you the number one rankings that you got in all these power rankings last week and everything else, he's hurt. You're $30 million quarterback leads the NFL in interceptions. And by the way, it doesn't look like it's getting any better with him. You got no wide receivers. You're going on the road at one of the hardest places to play in the NFL against one of the hottest teams and maybe the best coach in the history of the sport. So let me ask you this. Are the Titans okay? Now I'll start with this. Ian, I've brought it back. The New York Times playoff predictor. The New York Times, the 2021 NFL playoff picture, every team's playoff chances. The Patriots, who you play, and have the second highest odds in the AFC to make the playoffs, are sitting there at 84%. The Chiefs are at 84%. So Patriots and Chiefs are two and tied for two at 84%. Buffalo is fourth at 80%. The Ravens are fifth at 79%. The Chargers are sixth at 68%. And the Colts, yes, the Colts, are seventh at 57%. So the teams with more likely than not odds to make the playoffs, the second highest team is 84. Now, where did I start right there? What number did I start with?
One.
No.
What number did you start with?
I started with two.
Two.
Number two team, Patriots and Chiefs at 84. Why did I start with number two? Because the Titans are number one at 99%, according to the New York Times. Chances to win the division, the Patriots, 42%. The Bills, meanwhile, are 58% to win that division. So even though the Bills are in second place, the New York Times is telling us that Buffalo is more likely than not to win that division. Baltimore, 52. Chiefs, 55. Titans, 97%. So, on one hand, I have everything right here that says, oh my God, you're about to go with Ryan Tannehill, who looks like a mess right now, into Foxborough against a great defense coached by Bill freaking Belichick, against a team that has won 5 in a row. You're going to do it without the best player in the game, perhaps both your starting wide receivers, and some of your good players on defense. Who knows about David Long Jr.? Who knows about Bud Dupree? Obviously, he's out because he's on IR. But who knows about these guys on defense? And yet, I kind of feel like the Titans are still okay. I mean, I don't care about the power rankings. I saw Colin Cowherd today drop the Titans from number 1 last week to 7. 7! Like, oh, 7, you were number 1. Who cares? What does it matter what Colin Cowherd had them ranked? Watch all the shows on TV. Nobody is talking about the Titans. It took one really, really bad day against the Texans in order to get absolutely everybody from talking you down from best team in the league to, yeah, you know, they look good, but they lost to the Jets and they lost to the Texans. Again, 99% chance to make the playoffs. 97% chance to win the division. And that is with the assumption that they are underdogs on the road at Foxborough on Sunday. What do we know about Mike Vrabel and teams that are coached by Mike Vrabel? The Titans always somehow, someway find a way to pull it out of their rear end whenever they're not supposed to win. So I would not be stunned if we're sitting here on Monday after Thanksgiving talking about, can you believe the Titans went to Foxborough and beat the Patriots? I wouldn't be surprised. Just like when the Titans lost to the Texans, I wasn't overly surprised that they lost that game. I knew it was going to be ugly. I thought A.J. Brown would play the whole game. He didn't. So that's the way I look at it, is really nothing's changed. Like, nothing has really changed for the Titans. Even though they lost an inexcusable game to the Texans. If I told you when Derrick Henry got hurt and the Titans were looking at Indianapolis and saying, oh, they look like they're in the rearview mirror. And I said, well, guess what? You're going to lose to the Texans without Derrick Henry. You'd have said, oh, my God, no, can't lose to the Texans. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But guess what? You went in on Sunday with a 99% chance to make the playoffs. You lose. You have a 99% chance to make the playoffs still. And I don't know what you guys think about home field and things of that magnitude in the NFL. I care about the bye week. And I especially care about the bye week because of the health of Derrick Henry. But I'm not of the belief that if the Titans were to get the number one seed and to have home field throughout the AFC playoffs, that having the bye week or being able to play at Nissan Stadium would be the determining factor as to whether or not they go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm nervous thinking about the idea of having to get Kansas City and then get New England, you know, in back-to-back weeks in January in order to get to the Super Bowl. So really nothing has changed. Now, the injuries are a concern. And Vrabel's not going to update any of us on anything, so I don't know if A.J. Brown is going to play on Sunday at New England. And I don't know how hurt he is. And I don't know how hurt Bud Dupree is. Joe Rexroad had me scared to death last week. Bud Dupree was out for the season. Then Jeremy Fowler incorrectly reported on ESPN that Bud Dupree was day-to-day. Now Bud Dupree's on IR. I don't know. Julio Jones' hamstring, he'll come back and then he'll get hurt again. Will he get hurt and not be able to play an important game? I don't know. So I get anxiety thinking about that. But as far as how much has changed, again, everybody around the country, the national media thought last week, this is the best team in the NFL. Now they think you're the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th best team. But none of that really matters. So I'll ask you this question, and we'll open up the phones. 615-737-1025. Do you think the Titans are in trouble after what happened Sunday? Start us off.
Do I personally think the Titans are in trouble?
Well, I don't know who else you'd speak for.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to go to the phones.
No. I pointed to you.
No. I mean, I know that we said on Friday that it is unacceptable for the Titans to lose this game, but at the end of the day, it is a loss. It's one more loss on their schedule. And they were so shallow at almost every single position because this team is so injury ridden. So no, I don't think the Titans are in trouble. If they continue to make sloppy mistakes, commit multiple turnovers a game, even against, I mean, if it's going to happen against the Texans, it very well could happen against the Patriots. But I think at this point, the most important thing for the Titans, play a game on Sunday, play the best that you possibly can. If we've seen anything from this Vrabel team this season and Vrabel teams in the past, it's that they very much so play up to their opponents, get to the bye week, get healthy. We'll start to get a better idea of where Derrick Henry's at, where Bud Dupree is at, where A.J. Brown is at. So no, I'm not worried about the Titans. The Titans still sit at 8-3. The Titans still have the best record in the AFC.
Now, but do you know what that means if they lose on Sunday, though?
Now, they no longer have the top speed.
And they don't have a tiebreaker.
Correct. So that concerns me a little bit. But I think the Titans have been able to set themselves up in such a good position, winning all of those games that we really didn't think that they were going to be able to win. And I think I don't think that Titans fans can look at that game against the Texans and say, okay, this is who the Titans are moving forward. Because we saw that team against the Rams. They didn't have Derrick Henry. They did have A.J. Brown, but they didn't have Derrick Henry in that Rams game. They were able to get a big win against the Rams. So, I mean, no, the Titans are not in trouble. It is what we saw on Sunday a little bit concerning from Ryan Tannehill? Yeah, it is.
But, well, we've been seeing this all season.
But we've been saying it for a long time. And so
Titan fans don't want to admit it. I mean, I did not know this today, and I should have known this. I did not know this today until Darren said it to Tim Hasselbeck. He leads the NFL in interceptions.
Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes has one fewer, but he also has 24 touchdown passes.
He's going to throw more interceptions this season than he threw in the first two seasons combined.
He may end up throwing more interceptions than he does touchdown passes. He's 13 touchdowns and 12
that
interceptions.
And the fans barbecued Mariota in year three when he did that.
I mean, that's kind of an unacceptable stat line for a starting quarterback in the NFL. So, yes, that's concerning.
But see, on this show is the only place. I'm sorry, Joe, but I listen to your show, and I know that y'all spew the bull crap that is not the truth that I'm about to say, which is this is the only place that's been concerned about Tannehill for 2 months. You don't just have one bad game and lead the NFL in interceptions. This is the only place that's done it, that has sat here and said, hey, this play is unacceptable, and it is unacceptable, and he just keeps doing it. So when I say, are you in trouble? Well, you tell me, hey, the quarterback's never going to get his head out of his own rear end. Maybe that is a problem. I mean, I'm open to both sides of this here. 99% chance to make the playoffs, 97% chance to win the division. And yet, quarterback stinks right now. Fair stinks.
Isn't great.
Like, he's stinking it up right now for him.
Four interceptions is... For him. In a game, yes.
He's stinking it up. And yet, you got all these injuries, and we don't know anything about them because Vrabel's not going to say it. You're going to the red-hot New England Patriots who've lost one AFC game. And yet, again, it just keeps balancing out 99%, 97%. Kansas City doesn't have 97%. New England doesn't have 97%. Buffalo doesn't have 97%. The Ravens don't have 97%. You have a 97% chance of winning the division. So I'm torn. Ian, do you think the Titans are in trouble?
I am torn. But I will say, I mean, the offense and the injuries are an issue. I mean, you know, like, take away all the players. They don't have any good players. And no matter how good the coaching is, if you just don't have any good players. And you're just as good as the Houston positional groups, you know? You're looking at the wide receiver corps from each team. You could argue you'd rather have Houston. They have the best player in Brandon Cooks without A.J. Brown out there. Mm-hmm. And running backs, I mean, go around the league in the running backs and look at the running back group right now without McNichols and Henry. And, I mean, it is – the injuries are concerning. Other than that, I do think they will still make the playoffs, hopefully. Obviously, at 99%, they should without a complete, utter collapse. But the injuries do worry me.
So that's how we're starting today. And I'm with Ian. I'm torn. I am torn on how – are they in trouble? I don't know.
And I think it comes down to what exactly do you define trouble as. You know, are the Titans in trouble of not making the playoffs? No. I mean, they will very likely make the playoffs. Are they in trouble to, you know, lose more games in the rest of their schedule than they probably should? then yes, I would probably be on board for that.
Let's get to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, calls and texts. 615-737-1025. Are the Titans in trouble? That's what we're starting off with. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is a buy one, get one range passes at the Nashville Armory with a value of $50 for only $25. Nashville Armory is Tennessee's premier shooting facility. Whether seeking basic to advanced firearm training or shooting full auto machine guns in their 50 caliber rated range, buy, train, and shoot at Nashville Armory located at 4290 Neilwood Drive in Nashville. Website is armoryranges.com. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. And again, I love the people. Again, I'm not a huge gun guy, but I love the people at the Nashville Armory. They're just great people. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That focus on recovery, is that something that has really evolved since your days of being in that same position where you need to, you know, do things to be able to get on the field consistently?
Well, I mean, I think just technology and science has changed, you know, so much. You know, there wasn't PRP, you know, injections and things that helped heal muscle or any of the other things. So that's certainly something that's new. There's a lot of things that have changed since I played.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about the recovery of guys. You know, it's going to sound crazy. And I'm not calling the Titans soft by any means with all these injuries that they've had. I think some of that they've done to themselves because they don't care about drafting and signing injured players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we worked on a radio show, Ian and I, for 5 years where the guy who did pick players in the NFL did not like injured players. But the Titans have shown no avoidance of injured players over the years. And now they got injured players. But I just think that they don't practice football as much anymore. Like, the game used to be more violent, right?
Yeah, probably.
So the game was a lot more violent.
There are so many new rules intact now for player safety.
I mean, because Goodell's biggest fear is somebody getting killed on the field.
Yes.
So the game is a lot less violent now. I mean, I was watching a 1997 Tennessee Oiler. They played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the highlights from the game. And I want to say Lonnie Martz, maybe. I can't remember. It was Marcus Robertson, Lonnie Martz, Eddie Robinson. One of those guys picks up football, starts running it towards the goal line. The offensive lineman from the Cowboys catches the guy and literally just grabs the horse collar and tackles the guy down at like the 1 yard line.
Oh my God.
I mean, and it was a vicious. And I'm like, and I was watching with
somebody. Where's the flag?
And I said to him, I'm watching with one of my friends. I go, you know that guy went back to the sideline. They're like,
good
work. Hit, Bobby.
Good work.
Out of the way right there. So the Titans, and they're not the only team in the league that's going through all this, guys getting hurt all the time, everything. The Titans can't stay healthy to save their lives. And yet, the PRP injections, the preventative maintenance, the cryotherapies, that's all better now. The players are stronger now than they used to be. They're bigger now than they used to be. They're faster now than they used to be. So they're in better condition than they used to be. And yet they can never stay healthy. And I'm just convinced it's because you don't play football anymore. When you practice, no pads. You don't tackle. No two-a-days in training camp. No hitting.
You don't practice like you play necessarily.
Nobody wants to play in the preseason mm-hmm. anymore. No, like football's soft. And that's why the Titans are hurt. That's one of many reasons why the Titans are hurt. So I just heard that Vrabel clip right there and went off on the tangent. We're talking today about whether or not the Titans, long-term for this season, are the Titans in trouble? Again, 99% chance, according to the New York Times playoff predictor, to make the playoffs. 97% chance to win the division. The closest, highest odds outside of the Titans at 99 are the Patriots and the Chiefs at 84. That's to make the playoffs. Titans are at 99. Let's go to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025. Let's hit the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter texts in and says, yes, the Titans are in trouble because it shows once again, if you put the ball in Ryan Tannehill's hands and say, go win us an important game, you cannot depend on him.
I got to say this about Tannehill. Now, I have made my history of Tannehill well known because I have to bring it up every day. Because Twitter or whomever else seem to just believe that I hate Ryan Tannehill. That, like, I have a personal vendetta against Ryan Tannehill. But we've had me talking about Ryan Tannehill for 2 years before the Ravens game. Then I started to demand a little bit more. Now this season where he leads the NFL in interceptions. The frustrating part about Tannehill is that until he doesn't, everybody will want to believe that there is a chance that he's going to get this figured out. I hope he gets it figured out. But I've been waiting on him to get it figured out since September 26th, my birthday. Since September 26th, I've been waiting for him to get it figured out. And he hasn't gotten it figured out. He's got no clue right now what's going on. That's why he throws the ball right to the other team. Linebacker just standing there. And we can nitpick, well, the second interception wasn't Tannehill's fault, but the third interception, I don't care. Because at the end of the day, nobody cares. When you lead the league in interceptions, you lead the league in interceptions. And that's where Tannehill is right now. And so this year, I think this is like a Tennessee coach. Because it's going to happen to Rick Barnes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to Butch Jones. And eventually it's going to happen to Josh Heupel. But this year it's going to happen to Rick Barnes. Go lose to Oregon State in the first round this year. See what happens. Because these Vol fans, they like you right now. Because they're convinced that Rick Barnes can get the Vols deep into the tournament. Because they want to believe that Rick Barnes can get them deep into the tournament. But if he gets knocked out in the first round again, like they did last year against Oregon State. And all that talk about how Rick Barnes can't win in the NCAA tournament. If that keeps happening and that moment of truth sets in, they will flip like that. And here, that's where Tannehill is. Because if Tannehill takes you into the playoffs and he throws three interceptions in a game and you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to flip like that. Now, the problem is you read it as contract, which I said not to do for this reason. The same reason I said don't extend Jeremy Pruitt. Let me see a little bit more. Let me get a little bit more. But they redid his contract. They extended his contract. So now he's quarterback next year, and he's quarterback the year after that. No ifs, ands, or buts. Unless you want to pay $32 million in dead cap money. And I don't think you want to do that. So this is the reality where they are with Tannehill, and he's got to turn it around. There is no way out of this if he does not turn this around.
To be fair, I don't think that is exclusive to the Tennessee fan base of – you believe in a coach and you think that they're going to get you to wherever your end goal is. SEC championship, national championship, NCAA tournament, whatever it is. And then when they don't do that, then fans stop believing in that.
Sure. I think that's just the case. Like last week.
Exactly.
But this is the situation Tannehill is in. And it's the same situation Rick Barnes is in right now. Everybody loved Butch Jones. People forget about this. When I first got to this radio station, I mean, Ian, how many hours of me arguing with callers did we have on talking about Butch Jones? Especially that first year when the Titans didn't look like they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had hours of me and callers arguing about Butch Jones. Butch Jones
took
over.
He was very polarizing. He was.
People forget about it because now everybody thinks Butch Jones can't coach. But they were 5-7 his first year. Well, you know, he's getting in recruits, but he was winning the local recruits. And people loved it. Derek Barnett. Jalen Hurd, Jalen Reeves-Maben, they loved it. And he was getting other recruits. So then, all of a sudden, Butch Jones, at the back end of his second year, beats Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri, and Vandy. And the Vol fans are like, there it is. Josh Dobbs is our quarterback. We've got all these recruits. Butch is bringing us back. The next year, 2015, they had some highlights, but they blew games to Oklahoma and Florida that they should have. But it was like, okay, next year. Next year's the year. They beat Florida. They beat Georgia. This is the year. Then they lost to South Carolina. They lost to Vanderbilt. They didn't win the SEC East, so they didn't get their goal of going to Atlanta. They didn't get to the Sugar Bowl. Auburn went instead, and then the fans were out. And it was like, and that's where I think Titan fans are going to be with Tannehill, which is they want to believe. And I am incredibly pessimistic on Tannehill. Because I haven't seen any change yet. Last week was the first time that Tannehill admitted that he's been screwing up. I mean, I haven't seen any realization of the situation yet from Tannehill until this past week. But I'm not just blind-faithingly going to say, hey, you have not performed for 2 months at the level that you have to perform to, the level that we expect you to perform to, the expectations that we have for you. But you will, in time, do it. Maybe he does it, but I'm not mortgaging my house on it, if that makes any sense.
And, you know, I don't think that it is a one single place where Ryan Tannehill figures it out and then all of a sudden he's 2019 Tannehill again. I think that this is maybe just, and I don't know, but I can only think that this is part of, you know, the quilt of what makes up Ryan Tannehill. He's going to have good seasons. When he has a supporting cast around him, he can be a game manager and win games. But when he does not have a surrounding cast around him, he may make some dumb mistakes and he may not be able to lead a team against, you know, a team that you really should beat. So I think that's just, you know, all interwoven what Ryan Tannehill is and what you can expect from him. When he has weapons, he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I can get that from Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer won a division in the NFL and got to a playoff game. So I can get that from Brian Hoyer. I don't have to pay you $30 million to get that. I can get it from Brian Hoyer. I can get it from Tyrod Taylor. You know, Tyrod Taylor, it's funny. Everybody loves Josh Allen, right? Because the Bills were so bad for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You do realize the Bills went to the playoffs in 2017 with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. And to their credit, Brandon Bean was like, no, we're not. We're not going this with Tyrod Taylor. We're tearing it down. We're bringing in a young quarterback. We're trying to start a foundation where, so you can, all the things that you're talking about, if you've got the best running back in the NFL, if you've got a great tight end, if you've got a great offensive coordinator, if you got, you can win with Tannehill. You can do that with a lot of quarterbacks. It's time for Tannehill to start earning that paycheck. It is time. And I, you know, there's a chance. There's a chance that Tannehill gets it turned around, but trying to kind of be honest around here. And right now, if you had to say anything of anything that bothers me about the Titans right now, it's that. That's number one. Bud Dupree's injury is number two. Julio Jones' inability to stay on the field, which is going to continue, is number three. And the fact that Vrabel, for the life of him, cannot get these teams up to play bad teams, cannot get this team up to play bad teams, that's number four. We're back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, have you seen where the Titans are headed in the power rankings? I mean, it's wild. I got a thought on that that we'll get to coming up as well. Let me tell everybody to tune into the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this week is on Thursday. That's right, a little Thanksgiving action as the Las Vegas Raiders take on the Dallas Cowboys with a 3:30 kickoff right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
With the opponent being on the road, that maybe help keep the focus on the task at hand with the bye looming ahead?
Well, I mean, I think anytime you go on the road to a team that's playing as well as the Patriots, you know, I hope that we're all locked in, we're ready to go. We understand Thanksgiving is, you know, going to be here, and you know, we'll have a schedule that allows our players to enjoy some time, you know, with their family. We're all thankful for things, but you know, we have a lot to focus on here and get ready to prepare for, you know, a team that's playing really well.
There you go. Vrabel has changed the practice schedule, by the way. So the Titans practice today, which normally they're off day Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
They'll practice tomorrow. They're off Thursday. They'll practice Friday. I hate that.
Why?
Because you're in the NFL. You work like 6 months out of the year. So I'm sorry if you miss a couple of holidays, but get to work. I don't want this to be any different, and I know I'm going to get criticized like, oh, my God, Jared, you can't take a day off for Thanksgiving. The truth of the matter is, in the NFL, players are accustomed to a certain routine, right?
Yeah.
And the routine, and I get it, sometimes it changes when you have to play on a Thursday night or a Monday night or whatever. But the routine is play Sunday, film Monday, off Tuesday, practice, 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 off, play, right?
Generally, yes.
Okay, so now I'm changing my routine. So today's a walkthrough. You know, we're not going to really do much today. And I'm like, no, I want you practicing closer to the game. I want you getting more practice in, not less practice. I want more practice. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. There's a lot of people that work regular jobs in this country who work on Thanksgiving and don't make $18 million a year and don't get to take half the year off.
I think you're being awfully harsh.
You know what? If you don't throw four interceptions on Sunday, maybe I'd let you practice on Tuesday instead of Thursday. But you got the Patriots coming up, and so this just shows you how wound tight I am about the Titans, and really how wound tight I am right now about my entire life. Let's go to your phones. As promised, Daniel up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm going to start off just by saying that Tannehill needs a tight end. You think about the seasons that he has had where he has played well. He has always had a tight end where he can check down to, and honestly, that's what opens up his game. And so you think for a minute, you know, you got two more years of Tannehill at the very least. If you're going to have to work with that this next season, if Tannehill doesn't turn it around here, then it's on J-Rob. He has to get him a tight end. I believe that opens up his entire game. You think about the targets he's been throwing to. Okay, you got A.J. Brown. But then who else has Tannehill really been throwing to a lot? Jeff Swaim? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. He needs a tight end that he can rely on, and I think they can get open somewhere in the middle to help open up his game. Thanks, Jared. I'll listen. Have a good one.
I want to know what John Robinson's plan was at tight end. Like, what was the plan? I know it got screwed up. Whatever the plan was got screwed up. But what was the plan? Because I kept saying, like, look, you don't have to break the bank on a tight end.
No.
So, like, New England, 4 years, 50 for Jonnu, 3.375 for Hunter Henry. Okay, you don't need to do that. Every other tight end who signed a contract was like a one-year or two-year manageable deal. Dan Arnold, 2 years, $6
million. Manageable?
Like, that's a really manageable contract. Gerald Everett, 1 year, $6 million. Jared Cook, 1 year, $4.5 million. Mercedes Lewis, who's like 837 years old, 2 years, $5.9 million. So every tight end that was available, Kyle Rudolph, 2 years, $12 million. I wouldn't have paid Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, none of those guys moved the needle. That's not going to do anything.
I think Everett, I think one of those Jared Cook, Gerald Everett types, I think that guy makes a difference.
Jared Cook, I think, would make a big difference.
Because I don't think John is much of a needle mover either, but he fit in what they were doing, and I think Everett and Cook's a little bit older. But I think that's exactly what those guys do.
But on like a 1 or 2 year deal?
Not just a guy that can start in the NFL and play tight end. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
They're asking for Delanie Walker. I'm just asking for a 1 year guy that can start. And that's what I thought they were going to do the whole time. Like, I thought they were going to go cheap on tight end and wide receiver, but I thought they were going to do it differently than how they did it. Now, I didn't think Julio Jones was on the table, but I also was vehemently against that. I thought they were going to go get a Marvin Jones Jr. or like the sixth or seventh option at wide receiver. I actually did think they were going to get Josh Reynolds, and they did. And I thought that was going to work out. It obviously didn't. But, I mean, what was the plan? Because Floyd was not, I'm telling you right now, Floyd would never, never have gone into the season with the idea that Anthony Firkser could be a starting tight end. Never would he have done that. What do we have in the text line?
Fred in Ashland City texts in and says, I just feel like it can't all be Tannehill. This is by far his worst season ever. Maybe he's trying too hard to force it, but I feel like there has been some other contributing factors that may be able to be fixed. You don't go from one of the best in the league to awful that quick for no reason.
So I was watching Colin Cowherd today, and I got to tell you, the amount of stupid things I heard on Colin Cowherd in like a 45-minute period, it was wild. It was like the guests they had on. They had some guy I've never heard of. From The Ringer, and he was on, and at the bottom, all it said has covered the league since 2012. So he hasn't played anywhere. He hasn't coached anywhere. I don't know of any contacts this guy has with, you know, former NFL head coaches, current NFL head coaches, general managers, like what local market did he work in? What coach does he? I don't know any of this about this guy. And they're on there talking about Matt Nagy and how terrible he is and how Justin Fields deserves to have a better coach. And I'm like, what has Justin Fields done in the NFL? Like, you know that most of these guys that get drafted don't work out. So, like, this idea of, like, oh, yeah, Justin Fields is that. What has he done in the NFL? I have no idea if Justin Fields is going to be a good quarterback or not.
The Matt Nagy hate is running rampant.
He's
the past,
made the playoffs
like 24
two
hours.
Of the last 4 years. He's made the playoffs. Like, I know that we sit here and say, well, you know, it's playoffs. Like, this, like, the playoffs are good. Like, this is football. You want to make the playoffs. Like, that's good. What were some of the other crazy things I heard about? Like, all this talk about Baker Mayfield. Like, and I can't stand Baker, like, off the field. I can't stand the commercials. And, like, he went after the fans the other day, and I can't stand that either. But Baker Mayfield has never been put in a position to succeed in his entire career. Never. He's never had a good coach, other than maybe now. He's never had, like, the dedication to allowing Baker to succeed. The pressure has always been on him, and they have always kept putting it on him. And you need to bring a young quarterback along slowly. They haven't done it. So now Baker's playing with a torn rotator cuff or whatever it is and a bad foot, ankle, heel. And it's like, I don't know if Baker's any good. I'm like, we're going to put this on Baker? And then they talked about Freddie Kitchens.
Uh-huh.
And they were – so Jason Garrett gets fired with the Giants. Mm-hmm. And Freddie Kitchens is coming in as offensive coordinator. Ian, were you there that day? When the Browns cleaned house and they made Freddie Kitchens offensive coordinator, Greg Williams became head coach. Like, before we were doing the show, we used to sit in this office, and it would be like me, Floyd, Ian, Ryan. And out of nowhere, Floyd just starts laughing. Were you there, Ian, for this?
I think I might have been.
And he just goes, Freddie Kitchens offensive coordinator. Ha, ha, ha. And I go, do you know Freddie Kitchens? And he looks at me and goes, yes, I do. And that told me all I ever needed to know about Freddie Kitchens. And here's Cowherd on TV today. Maybe Freddie Kitchens is a good coordinator. He just wasn't a good coach. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So the things that get said are like, you know, you can make up whatever you want to make up, whatever narrative you want it to be. The way I look at it is Ryan Tannehill had 165 yards in a playoff game last year when you needed him to step up. And he didn't. And right now everybody's hurt. And you need him to step up. And he's not doing it. And if he can't do it, then that just means that he's like everybody else who's essentially a glorified backup. That the difference between him and Jimmy Garoppolo is almost nothing. Because that's what Jimmy is. You get Jimmy a great team, Jimmy can go to the Super Bowl. He'll miss Emmanuel Sanders and you'll lose the game. But Jimmy can get you to the Super Bowl. But in San Francisco, they've said, we can't do this anymore. Now, I don't know if the Lance kid's going to be any good or not. I have no idea. But they said in San Francisco, we can't do this anymore. And that's where I worry that you're headed with Tannehill if Tannehill doesn't make the correction now. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your Titans thoughts here on a Tuesday. Stillman and Company. How about them Preds last night? Big win for the Predators. Are approaching a very important milestone that I want to get to next. And it means a lot, in my opinion, for this season. We'll do that. Stillman and Company right here, ESPN 1025 The Game. Speaking of the Predators, that's right. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in the Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And they get it out to center again. Now pursued in, 2-on-2. The shot of the score! Yakov Prettit! And the Predators take a 3-2 lead.
It's really a 50-50 battle all the way down the ice. And he wins three of them. Finally gets it on his stick within shooting range and pulls the trigger. Top cheese over the glove of Gibson.
How about that last night? I shot up off the couch on the Yakov Trenin goal. Predators win 3-2 against Anaheim. Here are the standings in the Central Division. Now, in baseball, for example, I never care about the division standings until Memorial Day, which is late May, so you've got about 2 months of data in baseball. In hockey, I set the line of demarcation at U.S. Thanksgiving. That is where I say, okay, at U.S. Thanksgiving, where are you? Are you a good team? Are you a bad team? And then you can go from there.
Versus Canadian Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you
just
have to
clarifying.
Differentiate. There's two separate Thanksgivings.
That is
true. This one is U.S.
And
Thanksgiving. And the Predators are approaching U.S. Thanksgiving. One more game to play. But the Minnesota Wild are in first place with 23 points. The Blues have 22 points. The Jets have 22 points. And the Predators have 21 points. So they are 2 points out of first place. And they all have played 18 games. Now, you got to worry about the Avalanche because the Judy's got 15 games played. So they've got 3 games in hand on all of you. And they're only 2 points behind you. So you're really in fifth place. But they're playing better than I thought they were going to play. And so here's what I'm thinking right now with the Predators. And I read David Poile's Q&A with Adam Vingan, and he's not committing that this team's a playoff team or not a playoff team yet. But I'm thinking that we're going to have a fun season. Now, I am a little worried that I feel like right now the Predators are really carried by two people. Matt Duchene, which is a surprise.
A pleasant surprise.
And UC Saros, which is a necessity and probably not a surprise. This reminds me a lot of the 2015 team. So I started covering the team at the end of that season in the playoffs. But I was a fan following that team. And that was Peter Laviolette's first year, 2014-2015. And they started off like a house of fire. And for like the first 4 or 5 months that year, they were one of the best teams in the league. But it was really because they were playing Pekka every night and riding Pekka. And they had a lot of young guys they were trying to get in. Forsberg was a young guy at the time. Josi was really starting to become a great defenseman. Ellis and Ekholm were young guys at the time. And they were trying to work these guys in there, but they were getting results. And they kind of slowed off going into the playoffs. Chicago had a bad start. They had some injuries. They got red hot. And you ended up getting Chicago in the playoffs. The Predators were the home team. And ended up losing in that series against Chicago. Chicago went on and won the cup. But I'm starting to feel like this team reminds me of that team, which was the start of the run. And if you ever talk to Peter Laviolette, he will always point to that 15 season as a year where he felt like they grew up. Because they played a very competitive 6-game series with Chicago. And in those 6 games, Peter felt like we went toe-to-toe with the team that ended up winning the cup. And then the next year, they go into the second round into Game 7. And the next year, they go to the cup final. And then they're the best team in the league. I am pleasantly surprised by what I'm watching. Just across the board. The secondary scoring is not there. I'm worried it won't get there. I watched Tolvanen play. The guy hasn't scored in a month and a half. I'm worried about that. I watched Tomasino play. I think the potential's there. I'm not sure the puck's going to end up going back in the net. I have a little bit more faith in Luke Cunning because he's got more of a track record. But he's not doing much right now. Defensively, every time Crispy comes on this show, Crispy just goes off on the Predators defensively and just talks about how UC Saros is saving everybody's bacon. So that's enough said there. But so far, approaching U.S. Thanksgiving, it looks like we're going to have a really fun and interesting season all around. Like, we'll have a lot of questions going up to the trade deadline about what they should do. We'll have probably a lot of, you know, March will probably be a, hey, you need to win this, you need them to lose that kind of thing. And then I think right now, I think they're tracking to be a playoff team. Here's the one thing I would say. A bad 2 weeks can sink this season. The margin for error is not there. So if Saros gets hurt, done. Because a bad 2 weeks could be really bad for this team. But right now, I like the fight. I like the effort. I like the way they play. I think the goaltending is incredible. And somehow Matt Duchene's playing great. Ryan Johansson is playing much better than he's played in a long time. And it's a fun team to watch.
Absolutely, it's a fun team to watch. And I think like the penalty kill has been pretty great. I'm giving up a power play goal to Austin Matthews, but you're going to do that when you give him a 5-on-4 opportunity. But last night, it was fun. My only fear is, you mentioned it, like a UC Saros injury or any kind of setback to UC Saros really would put this team in a difficult position. And I just worry about the sustainability of Matt Duchene's production. Because I feel like for so long we've been starving to see consistent production from Matt Duchene. And that's really what we've seen so far this
More
season.
More so any production from Matt Duchene.
Yes, and it's been consistent so far this season. And he's been a guy, he's proved himself so far to be a guy that if you put the puck in his hands, he's going to be able to do something positive with it. But I worry about a potential setback.
And okay, so let's kick that around the room. Who's taking the cheese on Duchesne? Ian?
Well, I don't think he'll be able to keep up this pace the entire season.
I do not think he's going to score 47 goals.
So, you know, there will be a step back at some point. Let's just hope it's not too drastic. But, I mean, if they can keep this up, he could be right up there with a career year. I don't see why not.
Caroline?
I like what I've seen so far, but I'm not taking the cheese quite yet.
I'm in. I'm sold.
Really? Mm-hmm. That surprises me. Why?
Because I believe, based off of what I've heard, that Matt Duchesne thought he was playing well last year, and the team told him he was not playing well last year, and I still think he's a little offended by that. But I think that the team kind of challenged him and said, no, we didn't think that you were very good last year. And so they met him halfway and said, okay, we'll put you on the top line. But if we put you on the top line, you got to go out there and produce because that's what we're paying you to do. And I think he's decided he's going to meet them halfway. Now, I'm with Ian. He's not going to score 47 goals.
No.
But I think this is going to be the kind of season that you had hoped he would have when you paid him all that money. I'm bought. Go ahead and count me in on Matt Duchesne.
In being the guy that you thought you would have, in your opinion, what is that?
So I was excited when they brought in Duchesne because I wasn't excited. It's not the right word. I knew the fans were excited.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, what the fans feel has never stopped me from feeling one way or another. But I think back to that when they went out and they got Matt Duchesne, and that was kind of for me like, okay, well, David better be right. And David was wrong. And that's probably why there's kind of a direct correlation that my faith in David has not been the same ever since that. Right now, Matt Duchesne's playing really, really well.
Yeah,
and I think a part of this, too, is, you know, they needed him to play better. And so he's met them halfway and he's played better. And they needed to give him an opportunity with some consistent line mates and guys who he's played with a little bit. And he's gotten it and he's played well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 3 weeks ago, you guys would have said I was crazy. It was something I wasn't ready to commit to, but I'm ready to commit to it now. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. Those are my official movers. I absolutely love TriStar Moving. They take great care of you when you move, and I know that because I moved with them. In fact, I was inside my old house earlier today, and I was looking around, and it literally looks the exact same as when I moved. There's nothing wrong with the floors, nothing wrong with the walls, no issue. Because when I moved with TriStar, they did a fantastic job. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with 5-star service. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to mover training. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about helping their hometown and this community. This company is the real deal and on the rise quickly because of the high standard TriStar Moving holds. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar a call, 615-640-1219, or visit that website, nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.